Welcome to this 10th podcast on internal communication practice governance, where we can continue tying the different threads together. Last time, we mapped out how you can tell if your team are in the sweet spot, where you have everything you want and need. In essence, what it comes down to is that four performance factors come together to deliver 9 criteria. And today we're going to see how these threads are running through your day-to-day working practices. So just to recap, the four performance factors are your team's business knowledge, their practice designs, their skills, and the mandate to use them all the time. And you can know all four of these are demonstrably fit for valid purposes if they always enable you and your team to deliver the essential trace-less criteria of internal communications. That means every internal communication is timely, is relevant, is accurate, clear, empathic, logically organized, accessible, complete, and ethical. And all this needs to be able to happen without your team having to jump through ludicrous hoops or work silly hours just to get the job done. If your team isn't able to deliver this all the time without frustration and stress, something is clearly amiss with one or more of those four performance factors. And chances are, it's not going to be your fault. In fact, it may be nobody's fault, but it does mean something, or perhaps several somethings within your team's knowledge, practice designs, skills, or mandate is falling short. Something is demonstrably unfit. And if we pause for a moment and think about it, one way or another, this inherited situation is probably hurting pretty much everybody. Because let's face it, stresses and frustrations won't be benefiting the confidence and fulfillment of your team, will they? And whatever the flaws in the ecosystem you have inherited, demonstrably unfit working practices are hardly likely to be helping the reputation of your clients either, are they? And if that's the case, what are the chances that your organization's line manager's communication practices will be up to scratch? And what impact could that be having on those managers' audiences? It's unlikely they'll be jumping up and down for joy, is it? In fact, those shortcomings may be hurting both employee engagement and performance. So, to some extent at least, your organization is likely to be feeling it somewhere, in either its reputation or its wallet. Probably both, in fact. Which all sounds rather bleak, doesn't it? But it needn't be, because those trace-less criteria can give us some clues as to where we might look for solutions. They themselves leave a trace, which tells us which of your business practices may need attention. So, on the assumption that you and your team aren't yet living the dream, you know, where you would have everything you want, let's walk through these trace-less criteria once more, and this time keep an eye out for where the changes need to happen which can make everybody's lives better. If, for example, employees are complaining that some communications are arriving late or are sometimes buried in so much other noise that they're getting lost, it's clear the timeliness criterion isn't being met. And this helps to narrow the search for where the issue may lie. Maybe the process for taking briefs from clients is a bit wonky. For example, perhaps you have the odd client here or there who doesn't know what they want. Oh, but they'll know it's what they want when they see it, you know, and then they chop and change their minds, all of which is only likely to add delays, isn't it? Now, is that because the design of the briefing process itself isn't robust enough to give them clear directions? Is it because some members of your team aren't yet skilled enough at holding their clients' hands through the process? Or is it that there's nothing wrong with the process or people's skills, but your team doesn't have a mandate that makes sure clients bring you in good time, set aside enough time to brief you thoroughly and let you walk them through the process properly? Interesting, is it not? It's a similar story when it comes to project or campaign planning. Perhaps here you might sometimes again be called in at the last minute. And there may be more risks hiding in plain sight if the message calendar or feedback processes aren't up to the job, or if getting communications approved and signed off ever gets bogged down. Because that never happens, does it? So do you see how the trace-lace criteria coupled to those four performance factors can help you identify where the issues lie, which are keeping you and your team from living the dream? Moving on to the relevance criterion. What if you're catching wind of people complaining about having their time wasted with irrelevant communications? Well, this again is likely to be caused by issues with the briefing process, campaign planning, or the feedback processes. So that's where you know you can look. Thirdly, inaccurate communications could mean there's a flaw in some of your team members' business knowledge, but certainly that there's something wrong with the approvals process, which should be picking up inaccuracy, shouldn't it? And when it comes to clarity, if any communications are vague or unclear, there's probably an issue either with your organization's language standards or again with your mandate to ensure people follow those standards, or the ability of some people who aren't yet skilled enough to follow them. The issue of empathy is a subtle one, because the English language contains a number of linguistic triggers which can switch internal audiences off even when the intention to be empathic is there and the writing is grammatically perfect. So if you're ever losing audiences, if you have people claiming not to have been told stuff even when you know they were, it could be an issue with your message calendar, which meant the communication got lost in a load of other noise, or it's more likely to be one of those triggers, which will almost certainly mean your language standards need some more work. And your briefing process probably too, particularly your method for defining audiences. Trace-lace also tells us internal communications need to be logically organized rather than bouncing people back and forth to find the information they need. So if some employees are feeling bounced around within an individual communication, that's likely to be an issue with your briefing process. And if it's happening in places like your intranet, then your channel management probably needs a bit of scrutiny. And your channel mix is also a likely culprit if employees are having an issue with the next trace-lace criterion, accessibility. Or maybe less obviously, perhaps your message calendar may be at fault. How accessible is information going to be if it's buried in a mass of other noise arriving at the same time? And some employees may complain that a communication is inaccessible if they simply can't understand what it's saying, either because it's full of jargon or it's being received by people who are having to rely on their second or third language. So your language standards may need to step up here, either the content of what they're covering or, again, your mandate to enforce them. And what about completeness? If some communications are incomplete and leaving people to fill in the blanks for themselves, it may be that the client doesn't yet have a complete picture to share. But if that's the case, they should be being upfront about it. And if they're not being so, or if they can't truthfully claim they don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, it suggests there's a hole in your briefing, campaign planning, or feedback processes. And finally, if anyone's raising concerns about the ethics of certain communications, there are a couple of likely suspects. If the content itself is problematic, that almost certainly goes to the very heart of your organization's mission and values. But if people are concerned about the manner in which certain things are being expressed, it'll be down either to the content of the language standards, the skills with which people are applying them, or your mandate to make sure those standards are followed. To sum up then, if anything your team touches turns out not to be always timely, relevant, accurate, clear, empathic, logically organized, accessible, complete, and ethical, you can be confident the issue will lie with either the design, application, or mandate to use your language standards, briefing process, IC project / campaign planning, message calendar, channel mix, approvals process, or your measurement and feedback processes. And your team's direct impact will only be demonstrably fit for valid purposes when you've made the necessary changes. Crucially though, because so much vital communicating is being done by line managers, in time, your mandate should ideally be extended to govern the way they are doing their communicating too. But why should anyone let you make those changes? Why should they give you the necessary resources to do it? Why should they let you big up your mandate so you get to call the shots? To make a compelling case for this, perhaps it would help if we could show your leadership team the costs of not doing so. If you can credibly demonstrate the risks they run if they don't give you everything you need. And that demonstration will be the subject of our next podcast. As ever, if you don't want to wait till next time, or you're keen to explore more about this subject, you can tap into the dozens of free resources available at comgame.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you found this useful. And if you have any questions, or there's anything you want to share about what you've just learned, by all means, join us in the IC Practice Governance Group on LinkedIn.